Congregation may be seated. This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd once again like to invite you to keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion of your bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. There's also a place there for further reflection upon the Word that God will ultimately share with us this morning. If you're in need of something to write with, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get a pen into your hands. So every now and then, as of recent, I come across things that remind me of my previous life as a wildlife biologist. For those of you who haven't heard these stories before, I grew up in Nebraska and then went to the University of Nebraska, so I'm a Cornhusker. I'm surviving, I'm doing well in Big Ten country, at least so far. And at the University of Nebraska, I studied wildlife science, forestry, and fisheries, which saw me going into a career as a wildlife biologist studying big game species such as white-tailed deer. Any of you have some of those in your backyard? Any of you would like to transplant those to your neighbor's yard? Yeah. It's the first question I get. Pastor said, how do I get them out of my yard and away from my plants? Right? You see me after worship if you want to know. So recently, I'm struck by something that brought me back to some of those experiences out in the wild. And as I started to hover over some of the periodicals and the journals and the pictures, this dynamic came to mind. There was something about these wildlife species that communicated this. There's mobility from the time of birth. Now let me give you a couple examples, and maybe you know this as well from your experience with some of these critters, God's creation, right? Little ducks. From the moment they're born, they're hatched, their eyes are open, and they are taking to water. Maybe some of you have these on your favorite golf course, right? Water hazard, backyard pool, maybe not. Another example that came to mind as I was looking through some of these journal articles and periodicals were these two species, horses and deer. Now, if you've ever seen a young horse or a foal or a young deer or a fawn, they are all legs, right? And you're thinking, oh, I'm related to somebody that's like that. You should see them on the dance floor. All legs, wobbling around. Time to get off, right? Another example, an opportunity I had before me as well, to work with nesting sea turtles down in Texas. From the moment they hatch, they have this instinct to start moving, to start going, gravitating towards water. Once again, if I could put all those together under heading like I have this morning for us today, it would be mobile from the time of birth. This morning we're going to come across another example of just that from God's Word. Mobility from the time of birth. There's your teaser. What I'd like to do at this time, and I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screens up front for today's sermon video. What I'd like to do is I'd like to challenge you to look and to listen in for what it is that is now mobile from the time of birth. Let's take a look.
One day after his resurrection, while Jesus was eating a meal with his disciples, he told them that they would soon be given power to take his message all over the world. They would be given the Holy Spirit of God, he said. After he said this, Jesus flew up into the sky right in front of them, and they did not see him again. So the disciples waited and prayed. 10 days later, they were gathered, and a sound like a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house. They looked around and saw what looked like tongues of fire dancing above each of them. They all began to speak in different languages, causing such a commotion that a crowd gathered to see what was going on. Someone accused them of being drunk, so Peter stood up to say something. He told them that they were not drunk, but that God had given them the power of his Spirit. He recounted the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and told the people to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus. That day, 3,000 people believed what he said and became followers of Jesus. The followers of Jesus ate meals and prayed together almost every day. Amazing things continued to happen. People were being healed. Others were selling their possessions and giving their money to the poor. The number of people who joined them just kept growing and growing. The disciples, now called apostles, began teaching in the Jewish temple. This angered the religious leaders. Several times they beat up the apostles and threw them in jail. One religious leader in particular, named Saul, was determined to destroy this new movement of Jesus' followers. So he went from house to house in the region and arrested those claiming to follow Jesus. Then one day, while Saul was walking down the street, a bright light from the sky flashed. As he fell to the ground, he heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him. "Saul, why do you persecute me?" Jesus commanded Saul to get up and go to the city of Damascus. Saul got up, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see. With some help, Saul traveled to Damascus, where he met a man named Ananias. Ananias placed his hands on Saul, and something sort of like scales fell from his eyes. Suddenly, he could see again. Ananias told him that Jesus had orchestrated all of this so Saul could receive the Holy Spirit. This experience completely changed Saul's life. He became a follower of Jesus. Soon, Saul would set out on an extraordinary journey to tell others about Jesus.
So what we see in the book of Acts and what we've seen with our video this morning is this, that there's something now that is mobile from the moment of birth. And what is that? The church. Humor me this morning. Let's say together, happy birthday, church. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Happy birthday, church. It's also Hilda's birthday, but I'll let you talk to her about that after worship. Happy birthday, Hilda. What we see in the book of Acts, and for those of you who don't know, the book of Acts is essentially the Gospel of Luke, part two. So the gospel writer Luke, he's writing and he's recording about the life, the death, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Luke picks it up now in the book of Acts, and he wants you and me to see what this ministry looks like as it goes out and it shapes and it transforms the world. Through those Jesus handpicked to go and share the gospel message. Once again, mobility from birth. Happy birthday, church. In Acts chapter 2, we learn more about this birthday event, if I could put it that way. In Acts chapter 2, this is what Luke records for us. Let me share this with you this morning. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a wind like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What God is doing, once again, God is mobilizing his church to take out the gospel message that forgiveness of sins and life and hope are found in no one else than Jesus Christ. It's just as Jesus himself predicted and forecast for the disciples. Acts chapter 1, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now keep in mind, this is not the first time Jesus has made such a promise. This is not the first time that Jesus has said, you will be set apart for a great mission that will change the world. It will change the landscape of history as we know it until I come back. John, one of the gospel writers, records this for us. Chapter 7, let me share this with you. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Once again, and if I could bottle this up for us this morning and phrase it for us, it would be this: God is mobilizing his church. God is mobilizing his church for what? Gospel proclamation. That forgiveness of sins has come in Jesus Christ. That the promise and the assurance of eternal hope has come in Jesus Christ. That people do not have to work their way into heaven thanks to Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, forgiveness have come in Jesus Christ. Our sins, our mistakes, our baggage does not define us because of the grace of God for us in Jesus Christ. Gospel proclamation. This was noted for us in our first reading this morning, and if you need to take your pen and highlight or circle a couple of these words that are bolded for us this morning, I encourage you to do that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus' words to the apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This morning in our adult Bible class, we talked about what these words meant for us today. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but the word for power is actually where we get the word for dynamite. I know some of you just woke up, right? Dynamite, you're talking about explosive things in worship before 4th of July? Yeah. God is going to put something in the hearts and the lives and the minds of Christ followers that is so explosive, it will transform those around them. God is going to gift them with the Holy Spirit that will give them wisdom that is unmatched, unparalleled, can't be stopped, can't be suppressed, can't be put in a box. And he's going to do it, and he's going to provide it to ordinary people like you and me. I think one of the things that maybe we struggle with is maybe just this. Well, Pastor Seth, I'm not Peter, right? I'm not John. I'm not James. I'm not Matthew. But once again, the same Spirit that fell upon these men, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same Spirit that rests in you because of your baptism. God pours generously of his Holy Spirit into your life and into mine to the waters of holy baptism and calls us into that same transformative, powerful, dynamite gospel mission to the people in our own city, in our own backyards. If I could put it this way for us, it would be this. There is now a community of believers, Christ followers, that communicates to everybody they come in contact with that Jesus Christ is for you. Where do you see God opening up an opportunity for you to communicate that message this week? As you take stock of the relationships that God has blessed you with, who comes to mind for you? As you think about the opportunity that God has blessed you with through the working of the Holy Spirit to share your faith, who is that coworker that comes to mind for you? How about that neighbor, that family member, that classmate, that friend, that colleague, that person that you see at your grocery store? Who is that person for you? Second part of that question is this. As God blesses Praise Lutheran Church with opportunities to go out with that same gospel proclamation mission, will you too join in what God is entrusting to our care? See, what I see going on here, and maybe you've caught this right too, is that God is mobilizing us and preparing us for works that are ultimately going to connect people with Jesus Christ. And the question is, when that opportunity comes and that open door is presented to you, will you go? Let me end on this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see this once again. The apostles, the disciples, will receive power to go and share the gospel mission in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Think of a shockwave, a radius going out, ever growing, ever increasing. What would it look like for that to start right in your own backyard this week? What would it look like for you to take ownership of your neighborhood in such a way that when people come in contact with you, they feel as though they've come in contact with Jesus Christ? Grace, mercy, peace, patience, and hope. This week, where is God calling you to share his gospel message? May God point you and me to those places, those relationships, and those moments where he desires for us to be mobilized as a church to share his hope. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This time in our service, I invite you to stand.